Welcome to Hey, Have You Read This? The weekly podcast where we discuss the latest books from the best writers. You're joined by writer and author Hayley Savark and publicist Madeline Ryan. How are you, Maddie?
Hi, good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Today, we're diving into The Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo. Just some trigger warnings before we begin. This book does touch on death of a loved one and trauma. Criminal prodigy Kaz Brekker has been offered a chance at a deadly heist, break into the Ice Court, a military stronghold that has never been breached, and retrieve a hostage whose knowledge could change Grisha magic forever. To succeed would mean riches beyond Kaz's wildest dreams, but he can't pull it off alone. A convict with a thirst for revenge, a sharpshooter who can't walk away from a wager, a runaway with a privileged past, a spy known as the Wrath, a heart render using her magic to survive the slums, a thief with a gift for unlikely escapes, six dangerous outcasts, one impossible heist. Together, they might just be unstoppable if they don't kill each other first. So, Maddie, have you read this?
Ooh, have I? Okay, get ready. Put your seatbelts on.
All right.
So, I feel like in order to discuss this book, we have to jump back to when Shadow and Bone came out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I have not read Shadow and Bone. Hayley, you have read Shadow and Bone.
Yes.
But I did, obviously, there was so much buzz about the Shadow and Bone series on Netflix. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like, I've been hearing about it for ages. But so I watched the shows, obviously, the show, and I remember coming to you and being like, oh, like I just didn't really connect with like Alina's story.
Yes, yes.
But what I did connect with was the dregs.
Yeah.
Who is Inej, Kaz, and Jesper.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, like I want more of them. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, well,
Six of Crows exists.
Six of Crows exists. A spin-off from the Shadow and Bone series, which is all about this gang.
Yeah.
And boy, am I grateful. Honestly, it's the best book. And I know that, so this is the first fantasy book, like full-on fantasy book I've ever read.
I was about to talk about that.
And it's the best thing I've ever read. Like it goes right to the top of my all-time fave.
Oh, I'm so happy. Yeah.
Yeah, like I've already read this book twice. And I read it maybe like 2 months ago.
Yeah,
and
wow.
I've already read it twice.
Yeah.
Like I love it that much.
Welcome to the world of fantasy.
I know. I love it. So there's so many things I want to talk about to do with this book.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to begin, honestly.
Like, well, do you want to maybe talk, because you haven't read Shadow and Bone,
no,
right?
I haven't.
So your first intriguement of that was obviously, you know, the spin-off characters.
Yeah.
But what did you think of the show?
I really liked the show.
Yeah.
I did. I just found myself always wanting them to cut to the Six of Crows characters.
Same.
I just kept being like, come on, give me more. Like, I want more Kaz, more Inej, more Jesper. Like, I did like it though. Like, I've watched the show a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I did really like it. But I just didn't connect with the Shadow and Bone characters.
I feel like it was, well, because the book expands on it so much, obviously. This is what books do.
Oh, for sure. And you can, I feel like when you watch a fantasy TV show, you can definitely tell when things could have been. Even if you haven't read the books, you know in which parts there should have been further.
Yeah.
Like, there's,
like, Alina and the Dark Long, their love or their relationships are really rushed. Mm-hmm. And it, like, expands, you know, like, he really did like her and everything. And so, like, it kind of really brushed that.
Yeah.
And all they did was kiss. And it's like...
Yeah, I definitely felt that. I wasn't at all attached to their relationship.
No.
But I felt like I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I felt like I was supposed to be really torn between these two kind of... this love triangle.
Mm.
But I wasn't.
They really changed... So, they really changed...
Mal.
Okay, I was going to say Matt, but it's not Matt.
No.
Mal. I'm like, it's not Matt. They really changed his character in the show, and he's so much better in the show, where he's actually like this really kind, compassionate person who really cares about her. Whereas in the book, he's kind of a dick.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I find that really funny because that's why I didn't really care much about Darwin and Alina, because there was this like great hero this whole time.
Yes. Yeah.
I just I was like, why would she want this?
Yeah. Lee has actually said though, the author, she said, no, he's evil. Like, you know, he's like, because a lot of books, there's like a redemption arc or like there's something, you know, the girl is like intrigued by his, you know, but he's, she's like, no, he's evil. Yeah. The fixing thing. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that about it though. Like that, it's just like, okay, black and white, you know, evil. But obviously, you know, we were both very intrigued by these side characters.
Yeah,
which is why you then went on and read your first fantasy, which I'm very happy about.
Not including Invisible Life of Addie Lou.
I know,
but I
yeah.
see that as a very different,
very different.
This
also,
isn't fantasy. You know, that wasn't fantasy.
This is like, I would actually class this as almost high fantasy because it follows different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when you're, you know, you're reading about what Kaz is doing, and then it cuts to like what Nina's doing, and then it cuts to someone else, and you're like, oh, I really want to know what Nina like is up to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you get to like chapter 16 or something, you're like, yes, we're back.
So I want to talk about the storyline, the plot. I was so surprised at how clever the plot was. Like,
it is clever.
Yeah, I don't know if all fiction is like this, but there were so many like gasp moments that I had when I was like, oh my God, like there were twists and turns and you think you know the plan, but like Kaz, who's like the leader of the dregs, he hasn't even told, like he doesn't even know the plan himself.
Yeah, until it unravels before
him.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so many twists and turns. There's so many times when you think someone's like betrayed the group, they haven't, it's all a part of the plan.
Yeah.
It's like there are a million plan Bs
that
are constantly playing out.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own separate plan Bs, but it's so interesting to read about it because I like only a few times I kind of saw when something was coming.
Yeah.
It's the rest of the time I had no clue and I was like,
oh, I know, same. Oh, it's like a bank robbery fantasy.
It really is. Yeah. Yes.
Like it's a high, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Thieves, yeah.
And then you've got all these like really intricate, complex characters who all have separate histories with each other.
Yes.
There's some romance.
I know.
There's a lot of tension.
Yeah, I'd say there's more tension than romance, actually.
Yeah. It's definitely like there's definitely romance, but I definitely like I feel like it doesn't
it's
overshadow.
Not, exactly. It's not the main point.
Else.
Yeah.
It's not the main point, but it's there in the
it's
background.
There. Mm-hmm.
Solid
book.
It's
got all elements that make a great story.
It's got all the elements that make a really great story and want to like hook you in. And I definitely think for me, it was the sexual tension.
Yes. Oh,
say,
definitely.
Between,
sexual tension is my favorite part
of
books.
Yes. Between a lot of the characters. So there's there's two couples in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I say couples only because they're like pairs of two, they're not in relationships, but there's two sets of couples that just
I know and you're like when because it's like, you know, at the start they hate each other and, you know, one particular couple hates each other.
Very complex relationships. But I want to talk about Kaz and Inej.
Mm-hmm. I know you do. You've been talking about this for a while.
I know. So I honestly, from the get-go reading this book, the one thing that really got me was the complexity of Kaz's character.
Yeah, definitely.
And how he's sort of had to like, he's had to make his own way in this world and he's, you know, there's kind of this mentality of kill or be killed.
Yeah.
And like you have to tough it out, and if you show love or emotions, like you will get killed.
This is how villains are made.
Yes, this is how villains are made.
Yeah.
So he had, but he has this like deep vulnerability about
absolutely.
Him,
yeah.
And the only person he really lets see this vulnerability is Inej.
Yeah.
But even then, she only gets a very limited view of him.
Doesn't get the full insight.
She doesn't get the full insight.
Yeah.
But their relationship, a lot of their relationship is internal dialogue.
Yeah.
Or monologue, I should say. But it kind of works as if it is a dialogue, yeah. but they're not actually saying it.
And that's what makes the writing style so interesting as well. Yes. Is that this is internal.
Yeah, because you're seeing everyone's internal battles.
Exactly.
And you're seeing how they wish they could say things to each other, mm-hmm. but they can't, because everything they've learned in this world is that you need to look out for yourself, yeah. and you can't show emotion,
yeah.
because you will get killed.
Well, particularly because, you know, obviously there's this war in the background, like the Gracia and all of that, yeah. like having trouble. Nina as a Heartrender is, you know, she's always on the lookout in case she gets captured or something. Mm-hmm. So there's external conflict, but there's, I would actually say that most of the book focuses very much on internal conflict.
Yeah.
You know, of each absolutely. Character has their own wants and needs, and they yes. give in to some, you know, desires that they have eventually, yeah. but there's that reluctancy as well, because yes. like you said, they will get hurt or, yeah. or they're frightened of getting hurt again, yeah. especially in Kaz's situation.
And I found, like, I think in some books, you know, they have this sort of like internal conflict and yeah. they want to say, you know, their feelings but can't. And I feel like it's almost like kind of immature. You're just like, oh my God, shut up. Just say what you're thinking.
I know.
But in
yeah.
this book, I didn't think that. We yeah. truly understand
why.
Exactly why they aren't saying anything.
Yeah. yeah.
And as much as we want them to say how they're feeling, we know they can't.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I want to share my favorite quote. It's less of a quote, more of an excerpt, I would say.
Okay.
So it's a little bit long. But I, like, when I read this, it's about halfway through the book. Yeah. When I read this, I squealed. Like, I actually squealed and
there
was like.
There were so many moments in the book like that, though, where you, like, this yes. book made me gasp. It made me stare at the wall.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
just you going, to, what?
A lot of the time, you just, like, close the book and just stare out into yeah. space. And it's just like, oh, my God.
What
like,
is happening?
Reliving yeah. everything that's happening. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is my favorite part of the book. This is the part that whenever someone asks me about this book, I tell them about this one part. Like, this describes exactly why I love this
I think
book.
I know what you're going to say, but go on.
You absolutely do. This is all I talk about. Okay. They were sitting close together, their shoulders nearly touching. Her eyes were so brown, they were almost black. And for once, her hair was down. She always wore it tied back in a ruthlessly tight coil. Even the idea of being this near someone should have set his skin crawling. Instead, he thought, what happens if I move closer? I don't want your prayers, he said. What do you want then? The old answers came easily to mind. Money, vengeance, Geordie's voice in my head silenced forever, but a different reply roared to life inside. Loud, insistent, and unwelcome. You, Inej, you. Like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah. the internal dialogue, like, and that's kind of the first time where we really see him admitting to himself how much he wants to love.
I know. Well, he does, almost. Yeah, like, he is in love with her.
Yeah.
But he's afraid.
Yeah, it's such a powerful moment, but it's so... It's like you're on the inside. You get the inside scoop on what everyone is thinking.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I know. Oh. Do you have any other standout quotes?
That was the main one.
That was the main one?
Yeah.
I don't know what my... Like, I've got a couple, but I don't know...
There's a lot of yeah, really good ones.
I was gonna. Well, obviously, there's no mourners, no funerals. Yes. Like they say, that's like their good luck yeah. kind of
they
thing.
They break a leg.
Yeah. Which I really love that they like. You know, just to go back to Shadow and Bone, the show, they do that as well. Like, and I love that that was a little slight. You know, egg crumb. What am I saying? Breadcrumb. Egg crumb. I was going to say Easter egg and then, oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
Like, I just got to egg crumb. Yeah. That's a thing now. But there's also this quote, which is similar,
mm-hmm.
that you will know. I will have you without armor, Kaz Brekker, or I will not have you at all. And then at that point as well, though, you're just like, oh, come on.
Yes.
Like, just get together, you know?
But yeah. it's so... painfully beautiful,
isn't
and
it? Yeah,
like that tension is just what yeah. keeps you in there. It's the right amount of tension.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. God, I love it.
Yeah, but and the thing is, it's funny how like obviously that isn't it. It's a component of the book, and for me, mm. that was one of the key things that kept me reading, to find out what happened between them, and particularly even like with Nina and Matthias as well, like, because I loved their storyline. I was so excited to whenever it got up to that chapter, and it just kept me, that was one of the things about this book that just kept me reading, you know, was like finding out what happened between these characters.
Yeah, and it does, we do go kind of like back in time. And,
yes, you know, it's very well written.
And it's interesting, to...
It all unravels.
Yeah, it all unravels. You get a lot of closure about certain characters. You get a lot of understanding about why some people are, you know,
traumatized,
why there is a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
I do have to say, while we're talking about characters, I loved that we got two really powerful women characters.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Welcome to fantasy. My God.
Yeah, it's amazing. And they're two, like, they're almost considered the, you know, strongest people in this group of outcasts.
Yeah.
Which I think is really interesting.
Yeah.
And they're also very supportive of one another.
Yeah.
They kind of lean on each other. They're very different.
Mm-hmm.
One is a person of colour, the other is not.
Yeah.
And I found that really interesting that we got a lot of diversity in the...
That's what I loved about the book as well. There was a lot of diversity.
So we get a lot of people of colour representation. We get LGBTQI characters. We get characters who are living with a disability. The main character has a disability. And speaking of women, like, I loved that, these two, like, key women characters that we have are never reduced to their appearance.
Yep, absolutely.
Obviously, we learn about their appearance. Mm-hmm.
But it's show, not tell, as well, know?
I just love that one of them is a slightly chubbier girl.
Yep.
But she's also perceived to be kind of the most beautiful. Like, it's never, like, I just thought that was a really,
you know, it's quite rare in fantasy for that to happen as well. Like, I really want to read something where, you know, because in a lot of books that I read in fantasy, they're like running or trying to escape and they never get caught. And it's like, what if you were unfit?
Yes.
Like, you're going to get caught. Like, what, you can outrun this guard? Like, impossible. Like, they train every day. Impossible.
No, that's such a good point. Like, I feel like these characters are so realistic, and that's what I love about the diversity. And I think that's maybe what makes them work so well as a team, is that they all kind of need each other.
Yes. They all have their own weaknesses. They all offer something.
And their weaknesses aren't just like one's stronger, one's not strong. It's like, no, one has a disability and cannot do this certain thing.
Yeah.
One is a person of colour and is sought out because of that. One is a larger girl.
I
find that so interesting that everyone kind of has to work together. There's really only one character who's like muscles.
Matthias.
He
was cast so well, by the way.
Yes. Okay, so that's another thing we need to talk about, the cast.
Yes, okay, yeah.
Incredible. So I can't speak for like Shadow and Bone, but holy hell.
Well, I know that.
The cast.
Perfect. So well, like Kaz, oh my God.
Kaz, yeah, I can't even imagine who
else would play that character. But Ben all Barnes. Of them. I know. Like, even Ben Barnes, like, he's perfect as the dark, the Darkling. I never knew he could be evil like that either, because obviously I know him from Prince of Narnia.
Yes.
And it, like,
Caspian. Yes.
But he's like, damn, he's evil, you know, like, he has that look in his eye, just such a great actor. And even the girl who plays Alina, she's quite young and she only did like indie projects and all, and for her to be cast in something this big, it's amazing.
She's beautiful. Oh,
she's stunning.
Stunning.
Yeah.
I love the casting of Nina. She is this beautiful,
I know,
beautiful woman. She's like charming, funny, like, quick-witted, sassy, feisty girl, and I love it.
Do you know, as well, I have to actually talk about this a little bit, because when she was cast, she actually got fat-shamed and everything, the actress.
Really?
Which is terrible, because in the book she is described as being curvy or bigger, obviously, and so they cast her as that, and to then, which always surprises me, because I just, you know, here's a generation that is always like, we need more diversity and things. And then when diversity happens, they get shamed.
Yeah.
It's just such a double-edged sword for me. And I remember seeing it, like, controversy on Instagram. I was like, who are these people who are saying this?
Yeah, they obviously
get out of the room.
Yeah, no, they obviously have not read the book.
No.
She is perfect for
yeah,
the role.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and
they
like,
all are.
You know, watching the movie, like watching the TV show, like you don't think of her as a lover.
No,
you're not. That's not what you're looking at.
No, no. I don't think of anyone in that way. Like,
no, I'm not looking at their size, but no. I love that there is that representation.
Yeah.
And it obviously means that we're seeing it more in TV shows.
Yeah.
So we aren't noticing it as much.
Yeah.
Used to.
Yeah. But yeah. Even like, because Jess, is it Jesper? Is not Jesper. Jesper.
Yeah.
Jesper. You know, he's obviously a gay man, and
yeah.
had to have that diversity in there as well.
Yeah.
Is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that's now just become like more accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In shows and every books, everything, you know,
yeah.
and it's wonderful to
yeah.
see.
On the topic of, you know, these two incredible women that we get, I wanted to bring up the Bechdel test.
Oh, okay.
Yes, which is normally a test used for movies.
Yeah.
Basically, if I can remember this correctly, it's this criteria that some movies meet, a lot don't.
Okay.
Where you need to have at least two female characters. They need to talk to one another, mm-hmm. which seems like a pretty easy criteria to match, to meet, but okay.
When I read a book now, I'm going to be like, ah.
Talking. and then they need to discuss something other than a man.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And surprisingly, a lot of movies don't actually meet this criteria.
Why is it called the Bechdel test? Do you know? Or
I'm pretty sure it's named after an actress.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I might need to fact check that.
Fact check,
but I'm
yeah.
pretty sure it's named after an actress.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of TV shows and movies don't.
No, they don't. And I think we kind of forget about that because we think like, oh, and like girlfriends are hanging out, they do talk about... It's probably because there's a lot of, like, rom-coms out there.
Yeah, I think, like, because obviously, you know, there's all focus on the man
mm.
in shows and
mm.
movies. They're always the hero.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's two, like, love interests, then they don't,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they're
going
to talk
absolutely.
About the man.
Absolutely. And so what I think is really incredible is that this series of books meets the Bechdel test. And pretty much it, like, passes with flying colours because we don't really get these two girls talking about them. They both have romantic interests, and they both have, yeah, these, like, massive internal conflicts regarding
yeah.
these love interests, but they don't sit around gawking about it all day.
No.
They're
no.
busy doing other things.
It's actually...
They're doing boss shit.
Boss shit, exactly. It's actually quite...
Is he saving everyone's asses? That's what they're doing.
They, without... Who run the world? Girls, literally.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, literally.
Every now and then they're like, oh. Kaz.
Yeah, but then they're like, wait.
Then they're like, hold on,
hang
a minute.
On a minute.
I need to save the group.
Yeah, I have intense power.
Yeah.
I'm actually the best
yeah.
out of everyone.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting in fantasy, because what a lot of fantasy books do these days is they have a really strong heroine character,
mm-hmm.
which is very 21st century, quite new.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens, though, is they either end up at the end of the series or the end of the book, they end up with the love interest,
yes.
and they end up pregnant and or like lose their power, basically.
Yeah.
It happens in a lot of fantasy.
They have to sacrifice some of their
yeah,
power.
They have to sacrifice some of their power. And every time I read this, I'm like, why? And
yes.
like, why does it end in pregnancy? Like,
yeah.
it doesn't, that's not the be all and end all.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
So
I'm
very
that,
thankful that that didn't.
Yeah. That's the, yeah, that's one of the big things that I love about this
yeah.
book is that there are these romantic storylines going
on. But it doesn't.
On. It does not overshadow
no.
anything
no.
else. They're there to do a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes they're affected by it. Sometimes they make decisions
yeah.
based
yeah.
on those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, at the end of the day, they're strong, badass women.
Yeah.
And I love that we get that kind of representation.
Yeah.
I love that one's slightly bigger. I love that one's a POC.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's an excellent book.
I know.
Easy to read.
Yeah.
There's so many good quotes
yeah.
you can get out of it. There's so many gasp moments.
Yeah.
It's
actually surprising that it's young adult for me because there's a lot of
yeah,
very adult scenes in it, like
yeah.
quite violent. I mean, in saying that, like Sarah J Maas is young adult, which always shocks me because her sex scenes are incredibly detailed. And
that
I'm like, dude,
me, yeah.
like, although in her last book, she was like, I am not writing young adult. That's very clear. She stepped into that adult space.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this book has a lot of adult themes. And, I mean, you and I both haven't read Crooked Kingdom yet. That's
no.
like another one
yes.
we have to read. we're both reluctant because apparently it's sad.
Yeah, no spoiler, now spoiling it for you.
Sad.
Apparently it's sad, and I just...
I don't know if I'm ready
because
for
there's
that.
So many, there's so many characters, and there's so many different possibilities as to why it's sad.
I know.
And there's like some things that
I fear really happening. Yes.
Fear certain things.
I fear.
And
yep.
It scares me.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose any of them.
I don't want to lose any. They're like my best friends. I love... Ugh.
I don't... Yeah, I care about all of them because yes. They all have... I felt like I was reading six different stories. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So...
Absolutely. And I think it's a... it shows just how well Leigh Bardugo wrote it.
I know.
We have these very like morally grey characters.
Yeah.
But you fall in love with them.
Yeah. But that's what makes her writing wonderful as well, is that she writes really morally grey, complex characters.
Yeah.
And they're the best. Yeah. Like, if I read a book, like a fantasy book, I always am so intrigued by the villain. Always. Or, like, the morally grey.
Yeah.
Like, people who are good, I'm like, oh, whatever. You're good. Like, who cares?
Yeah, you know,
who cares? Yeah. But like making certain decisions and like going, oh my God, he did it, or like he didn't do that, or whatever.
Yeah. Or I see why he did that.
I see why he did
that.
Understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing. So many twists and turns.
Yeah.
You get closure about certain things and you are left wondering about others.
I know.
But it is just, it's clever.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You're never bored of the storyline or the plan. There's always something around the corner.
Yeah. Who do you think you'd recommend this book to? Because this book, I'd say this book is quite fast paced as well.
There's not really any like lull in it. Like
no.
I smashed through it.
Yeah, same.
I think, you know, like, because obviously I'm not a big fantasy reader, but I loved this book. So, you know, I feel like anyone who watched the Shadow and Bone series,
absolutely.
Maybe doesn't necessarily read fantasy, I think they should definitely give it a read.
Yeah.
But then also, even if you haven't read, like, I honestly can't say because I haven't read it, but I feel like anyone can read it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a super easy, I would say it's a super easy read. It's not a fantasy where you're 200 pages in and you don't know what the fuck is happening.
Yeah. No.
Because like, there's a lot of fantasies where I've read that I'm like, I just don't get it. What is going on? And then suddenly like the penny will drop and you'll get it. But because this is... written very simply it's written in a way that you understand what's happening.
Yes.
It is easier to read, but if anyone likes fantasy, then this is definitely a book to read.
Sure. It's not, because like I remember watching the first season of Game of Thrones, right? And being like, oh my, what is happening? because everyone's names are quite similar in Game of Thrones, and there's so many characters in whereas in this one I feel like it's very easy to understand who's who. It's like there's quite a bit of world building, but it's very easy to keep track of. I heard a lot of people say that the map, you know, of our like world in Six of Crows isn't the best. Because we hear a lot about Ketterdam,
yeah,
a particular place,
yeah,
and we don't,
which is
really...
Amsterdam, by the way. It's based off of Amsterdam.
And we don't really get a big, like, we don't really get to see the intricacies of
that
city.
Yeah, I don't know why that's been done.
Yeah. But then in Crooked Kingdom, so I started reading the first few pages of Crooked Kingdom, and I cracked it open, and straight away we get this massive map of Ketterdam.
So Leigh was like, okay, I hear
you. She was like, I hear you. Because, it is hard.
Ewa has heard you.
At the end of the day, though, I feel like, I don't necessarily need... I like having the map.
I like it.
I like traveling around.
Yeah.
But I feel like I do kind of come up with everything myself in my own head.
Yeah, I it's not like I flick back to the map and be like, oh, there they are.
Yeah, well, but I actually did. In Six of Crows, I actually did, because we get a map. I can't... Let me see. We get a map of the Ice Court.
Yes.
Which is basically where they're breaking into.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily love having this map because it kind of confused me. Like, I feel like...
That's how I feel. So Brandon Sanderson is a big epic fantasy writer, and littered throughout his book is maps as well. Mm-hmm. And so he'll like have like a map of that with the war camp, and I'll be like, oh God, this is so much.
I feel like I could have done with like a little breakdown of each sector.
I think so.
Court, maybe every chapter as we were getting into a new part. Because, yeah, like, they'd, let me flip to the page. There'd be, like, a Nedge crawled up near the kennels and towards the training room.
You know, and you're like, where? Ice moat,
yeah. Near the treasury of the sacred ash tree. And I'm just like, what? Yep, like, yep. I'd be like, oh, okay. But I was like.
But how?
I don't want to have to stop and start and be like, where are they now?
Look, yeah, I understand. Yeah, yeah. Should have had the map at that moment.
Yeah, yeah. I would have liked just like little snippets of the map.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually, it's not a bad.
I don't know, but I think that's just personal opinion. Especially because I haven't read that much fantasy. As I've said that a million times.
Yeah.
So I'm getting used to having maps.
Yeah, yeah.
And like.
This is quite a dark book though, like dark fantasy as well, I would say.
Yeah, it's like nitty gritty.
Gritty. Like a, yeah heist, gritty. Robbery kind of, drama.
A little bit,
This reminds me of, like, I don't know, old London or something.
Yes. What's
like,
that?
Peaky Blinders kind of thing.
Yes. It's very Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yes, I definitely see Thomas Shelby.
Oh, yeah, Thomas Shelby.
As Kaz, definitely.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he could have played Cillian Murphy. He could have played Kaz, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, he's a bit older.
He definitely
is. He's a bit older.
Yeah, they're all meant to be in their late teens, right?
I think so, yeah. Well, yeah, because it's young adult, which is always funny to me because I'm like, would teenagers do this? Like, how come this teenager can do this? I can't do this and I'm an adult.
No, I can't scale my smoke. And, like, speaking of it being a young adult, like, I actually didn't realise it was young adult until you just said that.
Yeah.
So, like, never did I read this and think, like, oh, it's a bit immature.
Not at all.
Never.
No.
Not even for a second. I was hooked the entire way through.
Yeah, same.
I love this book.
Yeah.
I recommend it to everyone.
Yeah, this is definitely, I mean, I'm 30 and I loved it. So, yeah it's not a, I mean, what did you actually end up giving it on Goodreads? Did you rate it?
So, I actually haven't rated it yet, but I feel a bit ridiculous because I swear I gave everything a 5, but I would give this a 5.
Yeah, no, I give it a 5 as well because,
I can't see how they could have improved, honestly.
No, and, like, just, like, the storyline, the characters, everything. Mm-hmm. And I love fantasy as well, so it was very easy for me to be like, okay, this is a 5-star because it was fun, and I like fun books. I was intrigued the whole way. I was never bored.
Yeah. Never bored whatsoever. I was constantly, like, excited.
Yeah.
It wasn't even just like, okay, well, I need to get to the end of this book. It was like, no, every page I turned, I was excited to hear what happened next.
And it doesn't, a lot of fantasies go into way too much description.
Yeah.
And she didn't really do that.
No, I think we got
massive passages of, like, you know, describing a town or something.
We got told what we needed to know. And
show, not tell.
Yes, and I think that's why it didn't feel overwhelming at all.
I agree.
Yeah.
I have one thing to say that I've wanted to say for weeks since I knew that we were going to review this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you know what it is.
What is it?
Are you ready?
Am I
okay. Ready? It is, and I saw this as a meme on Instagram.
Oh, yes.
And I have to not mess it up. All right. So, the ending of this podcast is...
We'll leave you with this
thought. Shadow and Bone needs 6 of Crows, but 6 of Crows doesn't need Shadow and Bone.
Boom.
Boom. My and God. That will be in the show notes as well. Because that is how important it is.
Absolutely.
But seriously, like, you haven't read Shadow and Bone and you understood everything.
I probably won't. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's actually a really good point to make because, in this book, we do, so Six of Crows, I feel like we should have prefaced this. Six of Crows is based after Shadow and Bone. So after the TV series. So if you just watch the TV series, this book is based directly after that.
Yeah, Shadow and Bone separate.
Yeah, and we go back and forwards in time, and we go back, especially with Nina's storyline, we go back to her story in Shadow and Bone with Matthias.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit like, oh no, like when I realized that it was going back to Shadow and Bone, I was like, oh crap, I haven't read this. But you don't need to have read it. I would just say, watch Shadow and Bone because that's all you need.
Pretty much. Yeah, to be
honest. Obviously, you would get a lot more elaboration on things if you read the books. But you everything you need to know when you read Six of Crows is already in Shadow and Bone, yeah, the TV show.
And honestly, they didn't leave out anything. Yeah, and honestly, the Netflix show was really good. And I think a lot of books now are being pushed into TV show format because I think they're realizing that, hang on, this needs to be long form. Like, I kind of wish, in a way, that Harry Potter was a TV show and wasn't just these epic movies.
Mm,
like, right? Yeah. How much more could they have expanded on, like, Goblet of Fire, for example? Imagine
how many TV shows they would have needed.
Oh, but it would have been so good.
Yeah, it would have.
You know, like, it just would have been able to expand it so much more.
Yeah.
Anyway, they didn't. This was in the peak of epic movie era.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Lord of the Rings is becoming a TV show, and that scares me a little bit. But
yeah.
Anyway, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, I think brings us to the end. Yeah?
All right. The point is, read the book.
Yes.
And also, the last point is, and I'll say it again, Shadow and Bone needs Six of Crows. Six of Crows does not need Shadow and Bone.
We just want to, you know, really instill that in everyone's mind.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this week's episode and join us next week as we discuss The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart by Holly Ringland, who's actually an Australian author. This is going to be our first Australian book.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no, 138 Days was the first.
Well, no, she's New Zealand.
She is. Whoops. We'll claim her.
Yeah. I mean, she's been here for 20 years, so.
We'll claim her. Yeah.
Aussie Kiwi.
Aussie. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but should be exciting read. I am excited. Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting because neither of us particularly likes Australian
fiction. No, I really struggle with Australian fiction. Mm, yeah.
Yep, same. I never seem to really get through them. Yeah. So this is going to be interesting to see what we think.
We might hate it. We might love it. We'll see.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one. So yeah, join us next week.
See you then.